Isaiah chapter 53, starting with verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his land. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Pray with me. Our Lord, we look on this suffering servant. God, we look on this great injustice as one who did no evil was destroyed and broken and pierced. And our God, we tremble because we see that this should be our punishment. We are the sheep who went astray and have run after our own way. But God, you have rescued us through your servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask now that you open our hearts, that you unstop our ears, that you would cause us to understand your word and your truth, and that we would be transformed. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our preparatory service, we took a good hard look at the holiness of God, at his perfection, the King of glory who never sins, never makes a mistake, never does anything wrong. And we looked at he has called you to the same perfection, to be holy as he is holy. And the same God promises to judge every sin. We take a good hard look at ourselves. We see
see that we are sinful. You are sinful and stand before the holy God. What hope do you have? What hope do you have? As your hands are dirty, covered with blood, as your heart is tainted, as festering wounds, what hope do you have? We see here in this passage that you all, like sheep, have gone astray. You have gone your own way, and that is your way in opposition to God's way. What hope do you have? We see in the same passage that the iniquity of us all is placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only hope that you have. You see, as I was preparing this sermon, I kept looking and the words kept coming out that you have been loved, that you have been loved, and you have been loved. And yesterday I was walking back from Geneva and I'm walking across the bridge and I'm thinking, wait, is that passage, does it even say that? Does it even say that, that you have been loved? Is the word love even in Isaiah 53? But then when you think, what is the definition of love and what is the greatest love? Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Isaiah 53 doesn't say love, but Isaiah 53 is love. You see a life laid down for you. I used to think that that passage, John 15, greater love has no one than this than lay down his life for his friends. I used to think that that was just Christ's death on the cross. But we see in Isaiah 53, this is a whole life laid down. It talks about the shoot growing up before him and being despised and rejected. We see him hated through the course of his life. His whole life laid down for you. You have been loved. You have been loved. You know that you are loved because you have all gone astray, like sheep turning to your own way. And the Lord laid that guilt on him. Have you ever seen disobedient children? Have their screams and their cries ever made the hair on the back of your neck stand up? Have you ever shaken your head at their stomping feet and their shouting at their parents? Have you ever thought to yourself, why doesn't someone discipline that child? See, when we look at these passages, we see that's who you are. The disobedient child. The one who is bent on going their own way against the will of God. And worse than that, you are a traitor. When I was in high school, football was the god in the school. Your identity was wrapped up in your team. You were a Yellow Jacket. Wow. But that's who you were. And from time to time, people would move and they would switch schools. And they would go to Springfield and then they would be a Tiger. Whenever you saw them on the field wearing the Tiger uniform, they were revolting. They were disgusting. They had done the unthinkable. they left the team and they joined the enemy. And if you got your chance, you hurt them. You see, when you sin and you go your own way, you actually put on the enemy uniform. The enemy of God. The uniform of Satan. This is what you have done. In going your own way, every time you go your own way, you are the traitor. But God took even this sin and He put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Know that you have been loved. Know that you have been loved. King of glory? Taking your uniform and putting it on? Your sin placed on Him? The iniquity, the guilt, the punishment of you all. You have been loved. Remember, Christ left His glory behind because you have been loved. Look with me at verses 2 and 3. He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected. You think of where He came from in John 17:5. He talks about the glory He had with the Father before the foundation of the world. And He left that and came here into the darkness of our world. You think about the filthiness of the natural man. There's places in this community that I visited, and we knock on the door and the door opens, a stench rolls out. The stench of the filth of man. And you step back, but you're looking someone in the eye, so you try not to recoil or cover your face or look away. See, this is the filthiness of man. And Christ left His glory and came into this filth. It would be like the person here with the most immaculate house going there and saying, trade with me. Trade with me. And you would walk into this dark place filled with this stench, and you would make it your home for a lifetime. See, this is what Christ did when He left His glory. He left the presence of His Holy Father. He left the presence of the holy angels. He came and He dwelt in the midst of sinful men. You have been loved. This is the sacrifice that has been made for you. You have been loved. For you, Christ was despised by those He created and held together. Verse 3, He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Do you enjoy being liked? Is that something precious to you? When people look at you and say, hey, good job. Hey, he does good work. Nice guy. wonderful woman. Look at all they do. Do you enjoy that? Have you ever been hated? Have you been hated? How does that feel? How does it feel to be despised? How does it feel to be hated? You see, Christ should be glorified. I was talking to an unbeliever one time, and I was explaining that our purpose in life is to glorify God, and that's our place. That's what God wants. He wants us to glorify Him. And his response was, well, to me, that's arrogance. You see, but it would be if God were just a man. But everything in the universe has its place. Everything is created for a purpose. Like this podium was created for me to stand behind it and to preach. It's appropriate. This wasn't. This wasn't. You see, for Christ to leave His glory and leave the appropriate place where He's to be worshipped is for Him to step into this disgusting atmosphere where He is hated. The God of the universe hated, despised, so much so that people would hide their face from Him. For you. For you. The inappropriateness of it is disgusting and disturbing. Those, wherever Christ went, people should have fell down at His feet and glorified Him. Instead, they spit on Him. And He took it. For you. You have been loved. You have been loved. You have been loved. He bore your grief and He carried your sorrow. Verse 3, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. And you ask, what is this sorrow He bore? What did He take on? What is this sadness? Well, we see in Matthew chapter 26, then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And He said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him. And He began to be sorrowful and troubled. And He said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. What is that sorrow? What is the sadness to the point of death? My heart has been heavy, but I have never been filled with sorrow to the point of death. What is that sorrow? You see, Christ's sorrow is the sorrow of Him looking down the shotgun barrel of the wrath of God that you deserve. This stark picture of having a gun pointing at your face is what Christ lived with a lifetime. Would the sorrow ever be off of your heart and off of your mind? Would the fear and trembling ever be away from you if you knew at the end of your life you would face God's wrath? This is the sorrow that Christ cried out with on the cross. My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? This is your sorrow that he bore. The sorrow that should be yours even now. Sorrow of facing God's wrath and judgment. He bore it for you. A lifetime. You have been loved. You have been loved. The punishment that brought you peace was upon him. Look with me at verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. His hands and his feet were stabbed clean through for you. This is what bought your peace. This is why you can sit in a pew and not weep and mourn. This is why you can live your days not slaves to sin and in sorrow. Because he has healed you when he took that price. He was cut off from the land of the living for your transgressions. He walked to the edge of the abyss of death. And he went there for you. God himself put his life and his body in the hands of sinful men and said, "Do your worst." For you. You have been loved. There is no illustration. There is no illustration for what has been done for you except for the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for you. You have been loved. Now, look with me at verse 11. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. The word for righteous is tzaddik. The word for righteous one is tzaddik, and for making many justified is even tzaddik. My righteous one will justify. He will make many just. He will make them righteous. This is what has been done for you. He's like the righteous lawyer who went to the man on death row and took off his suit and gave it to him and let him walk out. And put on the prison garb of the man who was destined for death. Have been made righteous. The word for iniquity there. It's guilt and punishment all wrapped up together. They're not separated. To be guilty before God, there's no chance of getting off. To be guilty before God is to be punished and afflicted by God. This punishment and this affliction that was yours, Christ took it. And he gave you his righteousness. We see justification through Christ here in Isaiah 53. You have been made just. He became sin who was without sin. And you who were sinful have been made righteous and justified. You have been loved. You have been loved by your Lord Jesus Christ. Today we receive the Lord's Supper. And this is what we proclaim. We proclaim that we have been loved. We proclaim His death. We proclaim His sacrifice. We proclaim that we are sinful, He is righteous, but we have been loved. The death of the righteous one for you and me, the unrighteous ones. Know that you have been loved. Pray with me. Our God in heaven, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in your mercy that you have shown us, the grace that you have shown us, the love that you have shown us. Father, you have not said here in Isaiah 53, you have been loved, but you have shown it. God, may we be stricken in our hearts because of the love you have shown us and the sacrifice of your Son. God, apply this word to our hearts now, and as we receive the Lord's Supper that you give to us, God, may we be nourished. May we think of your sacrifice and think of the love that it displays. And may you be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.